Welcome. It's September 12th, a beautiful day here in Colorado.
Sunny Colorado.
And we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 here in a minute. And maybe I'll read this first and then I'll read some other things. Yeah.
2 Corinthians
yep.
3?
In the New Testament, this is, in case anybody wonders, this is my favorite scripture in the entire Bible. And it's the second part of this scripture that I'm interested in. It says, excuse me, 3:17, 2 Corinthians. You can just listen if you can't find it. Yes, 3:17. And this is a verse I'm sure most of you have, or all of you have heard before, but it says, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That's the second half of that scripture. So, what does that imply? When you don't have the Spirit of the Lord, you don't have liberty. And we grew up, I think all of us grew up in this wonderful country, the United States. And we had a revolution in 1776 where we threw off the shackles of an oppressive tyrant, King George of England. But before we could have ever had that revolution and that set up that government on godly principles, something had to come first. Well, if you read in history, there's a thing called the Great Awakening. And in the 1730 through 1740, there was about 20 years where there was a great awakening in the United States, or what was the colonies back then. And there was a real resurgence of God's word and Christianity in our country. And the Great Awakening brought various philosophies and ideas and doctrines to the forefront of Christian faith. Some of the major themes included that all people are born sinners. Sin without salvation will send a person to hell. All people can be saved if they confess their sins and seek forgiveness and accept God's grace. All people can have a direct and emotional connection with God. And religion shouldn't be formal and institutionalized, but rather casual and personal. So, you know, that's why we have a free country right now, is because the Word of God was taught. And why do we have all the problems we're having now, where people want socialism, they want communism? It's because God's Word, people are turning away from God in our society.
It was also individual salvation, not collective salvation.
Yes.
You know, we don't get saved because our whole church together is going to accept certain principles. It's individual. Well, all
right, right.
Absolutely. But it still is individual salvation.
And it wasn't a big mega church that was moving the word. It was a lot of small groups and small home fellowships. That's the way the word moved in the first century, and that's the way it moved in the early 1700s. There's a very interesting video. There's a very interesting woman, young woman. She appears to be like early 20s, maybe something like that. And she escaped from North Korea, and I forget her name. It's one of those Korean names, and it just doesn't roll off the tongue easily. And she's been interviewed by a lot of people. She's on, I think there's a video of Jordan Peterson interviewing her. Who's that guy? Joe Rogan. Several other people have interviewed her. And it's an amazing story telling what true communism really is, and she's becoming a human rights activist, an anti-communist spokesperson, and it's just amazing. She grew up in North Korea, and they don't give you enough to eat there. And so as a young person, she had to go out and catch dragonflies and things like that to eat. Because they wouldn't get enough. Rice is a luxury. Uh-huh. You know, what does rice cost in the United States? You can get a bowl of rice for, you know, a few cents. Maybe, you know, less than a dollar. Protein, you know, meat and stuff was virtually unknown. So anyway, her and her mother, they escaped to China. And then when they got into China, they became sex slaves, unfortunately. And then they escaped from China. She walked the Gobi Desert to escape from China into Mongolia. And then when she was in Mongolia, a Christian evangelist got, or what do they call those people that, missionary, couldn't think of the word. A Christian missionary taught her the word, and they got her to South Korea, and eventually she got to the United States. And it's just an amazing story. And there's several of these interviews go on for like an hour. But anybody that ever thinks that anything good comes out of communism needs to see this video. It is truly impressive. I mean, it's the woman has an incredible, strong iron will to live and survive and conquer adversity. I mean, it's just incredible. Anyway, the main teaching we're going to the Old Testament, the book of Judges. And Judges, it's way towards the back. Got to keep going. It's almost into the books that Moses wrote. So Judges chapter 6. And, oops, I'm in 7. Got to go one more page. Judges chapter 6. In verse 1, this is a classic example that's happened throughout the history of man. And, you know, it says here, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of Midian 7 years. Now, we know there's Orientalisms. When God says he delivers them, he allowed it because God allows us to do stupid things. God gives us free will. What were you saying this morning? You were talking about, Diane was saying something about God must sometimes shake his head at us. We're so stupid. You know, he gives us all this wonderful thing, and we decide, well, it's like, you know, you got a little kid. You make him a big plate of spaghetti and a big thing, and he says, nah, I want to eat McDonald's. I don't like this spaghetti stuff, you know, or something. You know, God gives us all this wonderful stuff, and we sometimes are stupid. And people in our country are walking away from church attendance is down. And a lot of the churches that people could be attending aren't teaching the truth. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the great biblical researchers are making the truth complex rather than simple. And the simple truth is God loves us and he wants us. What does God want? I need to do a teaching about this someday. What does God want? And people with all these religions, well, God wants you to wear these funny clothes. God wants you to obey this law. God wants you to do this. God, no, what God wants us to include him in our lives every day. That's what God wants. It's that simple. It's that easy. It's not, it's Jesus Christ had to do something rather difficult. He had to be the sacrifice for all men. Now, what's our sacrifice? It says in Romans 12 that we're to be living sacrifices. We don't have to die. He just wants us to live and wants to be included in our life. It's that easy. So then verse 2, and at the hand of Midian, and the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made dens, which are in the mountains. Basically, they lived in caves and strongholds, foxholes. Their country was taken over. They were enslaved. And it was so, when Israel had sown, they'd plant crops. And the Midianites had come up and they'd burn the crops. They burn the corn. That's one of the reasons people grow potatoes. Because if you grow potatoes and they come in and burn the top, your potatoes underground and you still got... We got incredible, by the way, we got an incredible crop of potatoes this year and sweet potatoes. And the purple sweet potatoes are the best ones. So that was free. It doesn't cost you anything. So there was all this stuff going on in verse 7. And it came to pass, the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites. It's interesting that sometimes the reason people turn back to God is because the devil and the devil's minions push too far. We might never have had a 1776 revolution if King George of England hadn't been such a doofus or such a tyrant. If he had just left us alone and not taxed us to fund all his foreign wars in Europe and all that other stuff, maybe we wouldn't have revolted against him. And same thing here. The children of Israel, if Midian had come in and hadn't been so oppressive the way they took over, maybe the children of Israel said, well, that's okay. We'll worship their gods instead of the one true God, and it won't be so bad. But that's the problem, it's actually not necessarily the problem, it's actually the good thing is that the devil, he shoots himself in the foot. He tries to overtake, do too much. And that's what's going on in our country right now. The devil is overreaching. He's trying to pull things that he has no right. It's interesting, I have a friend on Facebook, used to be our next door neighbor, right behind me, I'm pointing right over there. On the east side of our house, there's another house. We got wonderful neighbors there now, but Don and Becky used to live there with their three kids. And Don got a job offer to move to Australia. The job looked amazing. They had this wonderful Christian school right near where they would live and work. And it just, everything just looked golden. And they were about to go and move there. And it all fell through. And if you see what's going on in Australia now, Australia is a real mess.
It's a mess.
And it's one of the worst places to live. Not as bad as North Korea, but it's one of the worst countries to live in the world right now. And one of the reasons why it's not so bad in the United, you're seeing people rioting all over the world, rebelling against this mandatory vaccination. Which, by the way, this mandatory vaccination, as of August 13th, 2021, there's been almost 600,000 adverse effects. This is on the VAERS website, which is pretty much most experts concur this is vastly underreported, but this is what's been reported. There's been almost 14,000 life-threatening events, 54,000 hospitalizations, over 13,000 deaths. That's just in the United States. This is the deadliest vaccine that's ever been unleashed on humanity. And it goes on and on and on other things. But, you know, if somebody wants to get vaccinated, if you want to do that, that's fine. But if the government mandates a vaccine, that's wrong. It's your body, you have a right to treat your health how you want. And with them pushing this all over the world, there's people, you know, demonstrating and rioting all over the world. Why do you not see it so much in the United States? Well, we have a constitution and we have legal ways to stop that, and people are pursuing that rather than other methods. And but by them overreaching like this, it's going to push people to turn back to the one true God. And I'm believing that we will have a great awakening and we will overturn this worldwide, this push to a one world government. So, verse 8. That the Lord sent, and that basically the children of Israel wanted the Lord to send a prophet unto the children of Israel, which set them, and he said unto them, I brought you from Egypt and brought you forth from the house of bondage. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you and drove them out. I've got to love King James. Drave them out. Drove them out from before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in the lands where you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice. See, God, it was pretty simple. God just wanted to be their God. He didn't want them to worship, you know, Baal or all those other gods. They got the, what was the, there was one record in the Old Testament where they had the fish god, and they set up this fish god, and they were worshiping, and God knocked over their idol, and all that was left was the stumpy little tail of the fish god, and it was gone. And he said, well, God, that happened. Well, when God knocks your idol over, your idol's knocked over. And, you know, in these communist countries, like that woman I was telling you about that I still can't remember her name, but she was talking about that their calendar, our calendar starts with the birth of Jesus Christ. Their calendar starts with the birth of King Jong-un. Or Kim Jong-un.
Kim Jong-un?
Yeah, their leader. Yeah, that, and so that communist dictator is their god, and the government is their god. But see, that's, we have a better god. We have the one true God. Kim Jong-un, he's not going to save anybody. He's just a corrupt little spoiled brat who was a son of another corrupt dictator.
With a horrible haircut.
A horrible haircut, yes.
That's what Kamala Harris wants to do. She wants to work, but
that
puts her face
up. Yeah. Well, I don't call her Kamala. I call her Camel Ass.
Or Kamala.
Yeah. So, anyway, I want to skip down a few verses here.
Or something a lot worse than all that.
Yeah, you can't repeat it now, can you? Let's skip down to verse 36 here. So the Lord came to Gideon, and he basically said, Gideon, with you, I'm going to deliver Israel. That's what's going on here in verse 36. And Gideon said, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, oh, wait a minute, that, I'm too far down. I wanted to get some verses before this. I'll just give you the gist of it, because I don't remember which verse this was. But anyway, what happened before this is God came to Gideon and he said, you know, I'm going to deliver Israel by your hand. And he says, well, wait a minute, I'm just an ordinary guy. I'm just a working class guy. I don't have royal blood. I'm not from the line of David. I'm not one of the judges. I'm not one of the, you know, well, actually he did become a judge later on. But he wasn't anybody special. He was just ordinary. His parents were ordinary working people. And you know what? That's usually who God works in. God doesn't work in through dictators. God doesn't work through these people that are born rich, and are usually those people are doing terrible things that I can't even tell you what they do here in fellowship, because it's just disgusting. So God said, through you I'm going to do it. And so Gideon's still having trouble wrapping his head around this, and so Gideon wanted to see some signs. And he says, verse 37, behold, I'm going to put a fleece of wool on the floor, and if dew be on the fleece only, and not it be dry on all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand. And verse 38, it happened. And verse 39, he saw an amazing sign, and it still wasn't enough for him. So Gideon said, don't get mad at me, God, but this time let it be, let the fleece be dry and all the ground be wet. And he did it. And verse 40, and God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and it was wet on all the ground. And chapter 7, verse 1, then Jerubbaal, who was also Gideon, and Jerubbaal means contender against Baal. And so he rose up, And he started out, okay, they started out to go to do war. He had an army of 32,000. And they're going to go do war. 32,000 is a pretty good army. But the enemy was so much more that they were still vastly outnumbered. And verse 2, and the Lord said unto Gideon, said, you know, you got too many guys. There's too many. If you guys win, you're going to think you did it by your own hand, and you won't think it was me doing a miracle. I'm paraphrasing this stuff. Verse 3, now therefore go and proclaim in the ears of all the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart. And 22,000 left. So they went from 32,000, now they're down to about 10,000. And God's still not happy with it. He says, the Lord said unto Gideon, there's still too many guys. You guys are going to win the battle, and you're going to think you did it yourself, and you won't think I did it for you. So they went down to the water, and the guys that went down like this and drank just like that, bent over and drank right directly out of the water. He said, those ones send home. But the guys that lap up with their hand like this, those are the ones you're going to take with you. So finally he makes another cut, and he's down to 300. So he went from 32,000 to 300. Verse 12, and the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley, like locusts, is the text. It's not grasshoppers in King James. It's more like locusts. For multitude, for their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside, for the multitude. So you're going to take out an army. You can't even count how many they are. I mean, it's just unnumbered, thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe. Maybe millions, I don't know. And what? How do you do battle with that? Well, if it was up to me, I'd want some nice modern weapons. You know, some claymore mines, some M16s, maybe if some drones shooting. No, how did God do this? Verse 16, and he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand and empty pitchers with lamps in the pitcher. Now, you don't necessarily see this in King James. A pitcher, it's like a big clay vase and a candle. So they had a big clay vase, whatever you pronounce it, and a candle and a trumpet. And with this, they're going to kill untold hundreds of thousands of the enemy. So how do they do it? And he said unto them, look unto me, and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, shall ye do. When I blow the trumpet, and all that are with me, then blow the trumpets, and also on every side of the camp, say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And so Gideon and they all went up there to the thing, and the verse 20, and the three companies blew the trumpets and break the pitchers, and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands, and blew withal and cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And every man stood his place round about the camp, and the host ran and cried, and the enemy, they ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set all the enemy's sword against his fellow and throughout the host, and fled to Bethsheba and Zarephath and this other place and all those things, those funny places, that, you know, like Chicago and Denver and Detroit or whatever. And you know what? But when we turn back, you look at our revolution. We had a ragtag bunch of guys. A couple of the officers had military training, but for the most part, they were farmers. And they were taking on the premier world power of their time, the English Empire. And they thought they could defeat them. They lost most of the battles. They they, without God's help, it wouldn't have worked. But because of the Great Awakening, people had turned back to God. George Washington was an amazing Christian man. He went through battles. He would be on his horse leading his men. And sometimes the enemy would shoot at the officer. And after the battle, George Washington would look at his coat and there'd be bullet holes in his coat, but yet there was no bullet holes in him. And because he walked with God, and the only way we're going to defeat this new world order and this one world government, where they want, basically they want us to be slaves, and they want us to give us injections two, three times a year the rest of our lives with all these experimental shots. And the only way is it's going to be God that defeats this stuff. It's not going to be because we got a little pea shooter in our basement and we know how to shoot a 22 pistol or something. That we're not going to stop them that way. It's going to be God. The battle is the Lord's. And God, we need people that will rise up and walk with the one true God. We need people that will speak the word to other people. We need people that will stand and will say, "Oh, hell no. Satan, get thee behind me in the name of Jesus Christ." And that's what's going to save this country. So that's what I wanted to share from the word today. And I'm going to have a little prayer at the end of the teaching here, and then I will make it available for other people to chime in. And we got some background noise. Somebody needs to mute or something. Oh, okay. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today, the simplicity of your word. Father, thank you for the simplicity of your word, and thank you for your deliverance, and thank you that we can stand against the devil. And we can rebuke the devil, and thank you, Father, that you are our victory. You are our, having done all, we stand, and we stand therefore, having our loins girt about with truth, putting on the breastplate of righteousness, and taking the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, and the sword of the Spirit will cut the devil's plans into little tiny pieces. And I thank you for the victory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.